Father, we are so thankful for this wonderful Sunday, this Father's Day that you've given us. And Lord, I'm thankful for every father that's here. I pray that you bless them this morning as they have such an awesome responsibility being the spiritual leaders of their home. But Lord, this morning we look to our Father, our Heavenly Father, from whom all blessings flow. And Lord, we hallow thy name. Lord, we praise you and honor you in this place called Calvary Chapel this morning. And we welcome, Lord, all those that are tuning in live right now as well. And Father, we're so thankful for them. And I'm thankful for those that are present, that Lord, they come to hear your word and help me, Lord, to teach it accurately and faithfully. And Lord, this morning, there's so many problems across our world on this Father's Day. We pray for the nation Iraq. Lord, we don't know. I don't even know how to begin to pray for the things that are going on there this morning. But here's what we pray, Father. We pray that your perfect will be done in that nation. And Lord, also some way here in our own homeland along our Texas borders, all those little children that are fatherless, those who are coming from El Salvador and Honduras and Mexico, crossing, wanting to come across our land, Lord, to find work, to be free. God, somehow that all the refugee camps that are setting up, please don't let them be harmed. And please bless them and let them be fed and cared for and protected. And Lord, somehow help us in this area. And Lord, we love you. We praise you now for this day. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 this morning on this Father's Day. We're going to be this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, just for a minute. Then we're going to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and then we'll go to Proverbs, chapter 3 on this Father's Day. I don't normally deliver a Father's Day or a Mother's Day sermon the last 22 years or whatnot. But when I do, I always talk about our Heavenly Father on our Father's Day. Now, you know, on Mother's Day, for example, we hear, many, many wonderful sermons honoring mom. And listen, we should honor our mothers. Amen. And thank God for godly mothers. But then what happens after, you know, we have these sermons about the mom and how they're lifted up and honored and loved and given roses and taken out to dinner and the husband cleans the house for a whole week after that. And you know how we are. Then all of a sudden, it's Father's Day. And Father's Day rolls around, and then the dad, they come to church, or maybe they're drugged to church, you know what I mean? And they want to hear, and they hear a sermon on how to be a better dad, not honoring them, just like, you need to be a better dad, you need to be a better father, you need to do a better job. Every dad needs to do a better job, okay? We know that. Well, dads, listen, this morning, you're going to be let off the hook a little bit, because I'm not going to talk about our role. I'm going to talk about someone else. I'm going to talk about the most perfect father in the entire universe, and that is our Father, which art in heaven. Amen. Now, many of us, and it always blesses me when I find out those who say, my dad was just great, or my mom was great, and my parents are wonderful. And it's wonderful to be blessed with a great dad. You know what I mean? Or great mother. But there are a lot of kids today, and some of us, we didn't have a great dad. And it leaves a kind of a vacuum. It leaves a hole in our heart and so forth. And today, more than ever before, children are living without the man that God has called the children to honor. He's not there. He's not present. Many kids today, they've been abused, by their dads or whatnot. They've been left. They've been abandoned and neglected by the man that God, according to the Bible, has appointed to love them, to take care of them, protect them, and be with them. But they're not there. Listen to this statistic. Today, 43% of American children, not children around the world, I'm talking about America, 43% of American children live in a home without their biological father. That's a huge number. And what happens whenever a child is abandoned by his parents, mom, dad, or whatever? It makes the children, it's difficult for them to trust their dads, which in turn makes it difficult for them to trust their Heavenly Father. Because if their earthly father didn't do them right and hurt them, abused them, or left them, then all of a sudden when they look to the heavenly father, they identify with being let down in a way. Does that make sense? And so, for example, if we have children today that are in Christian homes, but if the parents or the dads or whatnot in that Christian home, if they don't trust the Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, then the children won't do that either. So this morning on this Father's Day, that word trust, boy, that's going to be a big, big word. You know, I was thinking today, there's this word that goes across the internet, and I get it in letters of, you know, that pastors send me and whatever, books and so forth. The word is, and I always have problems mispronouncing it, but it's relevant, right? Yeah, that's correct, isn't it? Relevant. You know, in other words, the church needs to be relevant today. Relevant. How do you say it? Relevant. I didn't have this much trouble in the first service. It needs to be, what's the word? Relevant. I just wanted to see if you're listening. That's why I made all those mistakes. There's always a plan. I have a plan. So I'm sitting here, you know, and I'm going, okay, you know, and the church, you know, it needs to be culturally relevant. Okay? And I say, well, I think we're kind of culturally relevant. I mean, we have a dove that changes colors. I mean, have you ever seen such a sissy pulpit as this? I mean, this is a 21st century pulpit, folks. I mean, it looks like something like the Jetsons. Remember the Jetsons? Looks like something's going to fly out of here. So, you know, I think that, you know, we're pretty cool today. And, you know, I was talking to this kid the other day, and he came down and he said, oh man, I was down at this church. It was so cool and so forth. All the things they're having. I said, well, tell me about it. He says, man, the pastor is so cool. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, he's wearing those skinny tight jeans. and he teaches from an iPad. And I said, that is cool. I said, that's what I do. He said, and all the, you know, the leadership, they are so awesome. They're all wearing those little white things from Apple in their ears. And, you know, they walk around doing their devos. I said, what's a devo? He said, you don't know what a devo is, man? I said, no, it's a devotion. I said, oh, I said, I'm growing now. You know, and so it goes on, and he says, yeah. And he said, that sermon, the pastor's sermon, he said, it's just, they're so, you know, that word, how they do that, so in tune with my life. And I'm going, brother, if I found the church that great, I think I'd just stay there, you know, because I don't wear skinny jeans. My hair is not spiked. I'm thinking about it though. You know what I mean? Listen. I don't see anything wrong with the things I just talked about, and I'm not making fun of any of those pastors at all that do that. I think that a pastor should, if he wants to wear skinny tight jeans, then he can wear skinny tight jeans. I don't care, but as long as he teaches God's word, amen? But here's the thing. A church can be today culturally relevant, but not be relevant when it comes to teaching God's word. See, what we want to do here is one thing to be a cultural relevant or whatnot, but that's not what makes the Word of God relevant. Relevant. Right? Yes. The entirety of God's Word is relevant. Amen? Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. So the reason I said that is this. If I told you right after the service that there's going to be a huge bus outside and we're all going to get on that bus together, and here's what we're going to do. In honor of President Bush's 90th birthday celebration, we, all of us, are going to follow his example. You know what he did. Follow his example by putting on a parachute and jumping out of an airplane and skydiving. Amen? Okay, let me ask you a question. And then I said, and so here we are, we're out at the bus, and I'd say, everybody be quiet now, be very attentive, because for the next 10 minutes, I'm going to give you instructions on the do's and don'ts of parachuting out of an airplane and landing safely. I'm going to ask you a question. The information that I was going to give you, would it be relevant? Would you listen to every word? Would you take notes? Would you tell the person next to you, shut up, because I, no, do you understand? And, because I want to hear what he's saying. I have to get it down. I only have 10 minutes and I want to make sure, because I'm getting ready to, it's life or death. I'm going to go jump out of an airplane. I would say that would be very relevant. Amen. Now, in the sermon on the plane, there in Luke's gospel chapter 6, man, listen, Jesus commanded us to build our life on the rock. Look at it quickly, verse 47. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it. It could not shake it. Why? For it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now listen, is that word from our Lord and Savior, the one who died for us, loves us, lives for us, and intercedes for us, and who's coming for us, is that word relevant? Man, it is relevant. We need to say, okay, Lord, you just told us how to live. It's a matter of life and death, because Jesus just said, you know what? There's only two ways to build a life. You're either going to build it on the rock, which is Christ, the Word of God, or you're going to build it on your own foundation. And it may look great, may look secure, but the truth of the matter is storms are coming in our life. They're coming. And you know what? If you're not built correctly, that house, your life, could very well fall apart. Now, I think that's very relevant today. Amen? Now, could it be that the reason that some believers, and I'm not saying all believers, but that some believers, they hear the Word of God, but they never do the Word of God, they never build upon the rock, could it be it's because of the lack of one key word? And that is the word trust. You see, if we don't trust the sayings of Jesus, if we don't trust this book called the Bible, if we don't trust the Word of God, in reality, it means that we're building our home, our life, our own way, which indicates to us that we're actually, that there must be many ways to build a life. For the Christian, there's only one way. And that's so important for us to see. J.L. Packer put it this way. He says, if you want to judge how well a person understands Christianity, find out how much he makes of the thought of being, number one, God's child, and number two, having God as his father or her father. Listen, God is our Father. Amen. Oh, and we were going to honor him this day. You know, you see, if we just trust God with a few things, and if we don't, and instead of trusting God with everything, would you say that would be because of a lack of trust? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And you know, I think that for example, let's just take one aspect. The majority of the corporate church, meaning not just Calvary Chapel, the whole Christian, and let's say in America, the majority of believers today in the 21st century, they really no longer support the work in the kingdom. The majority. Now, there are many, many who do, but not the majority any longer. Meaning that support the kingdom financially, the giving of tithes and offerings and so forth. Now, and the reason that that's happening is this, is that they trust more in what they have than in who they have. And that's why there's such a neglect in that area. Even though our Father who loves us, even though our Father who would never ever lie to us, because see, God cannot lie. Who has never ever been unfaithful to you, never in your life, and he's never been unfaithful to me, has told us this. Listen to what God's word says. He says in Proverbs 11:28, he who trusts, there's that key word again, he who trusts in his riches will fall. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to be puffed up, and here's this word, nor trust in uncertain riches. Boy, riches come and go, don't they? He says, don't trust in that, but trust in the living God, the living God. Our Father is alive, but trust in the living God, which gives us richly all things to enjoy. Did you know the word enjoy is in the Bible? That's right. Listen, God wants you to, do you think God wants you to enjoy your life? Absolutely. He's given us a great nation to live our life in. You know, you say, if you're wealthy, praise the Lord for it and say, praise God, I'll give God his pardon and go on and don't worry about it. You know, you say, you know, you like go fishing, you have a nice fishing boat, a bass boat, just shame on you. But if you do, no, I'm teasing. You know, if you got to, well, enjoy it. God gives it to you to enjoy, okay? Now, it says in Philippians 4:19, this is what God tells us. He says, Paul says, and my God, or we could say, and my Father, not my sweat or my intelligence or my hard work, but my Father shall supply all your need according to his riches. According to his riches. Is God rich? Oh, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God said in the Bible, all the silver, all the gold is mine. God owns the earth. He owns everything. He owns the universe. He created it. He has everything. He says, according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen, trusting our Father means there is not one need that he cannot supply. You see, we have the absolute greatest Father in all the universe. Amen. Our Father in heaven. Now turn with me to Matthew's gospel. Just turn back to Matthew's gospel and look at chapter 6 with me. Matthew's gospel, chapter 6. And let's look at look at verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body. Boy, we really care about our bodies today, don't we? He said, or what you'll put on. He says, is life more than food and the body more than clothing? He says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now look at verse 30. And he says, now if God, that is our Father, if God so clothes the grass of the field. In other words, if God pays that much attention to flowers, okay? He says, which today is, tomorrow is going to be thrown into the oven. They're going to die. They're going to burn up when the heat comes. It says, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith is little trust. Meaning that, you know what? Little faith and little trust, they put a limit on what can do for you. And given to you and so forth, they limit the Almighty God. And you know, how can we not trust our Father? He's never failed us. You know, in all of my life, I can honestly say I've accused him of failing me. I've accused him of abandoning me. I've accused him for not caring in the 40 years, whatever, I've served the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, I was wrong each time. God has never let me down. My Father has never let me down. I've had a lot of people let me down in my life. But God, our Father, has never let you down, and he has never let me down. You see, he has never, ever, he's never failed us. He's never lied to us. And you know what? Our Father has never, ever, ever made one mistake. Now, that's the kind of Father I love. Amen? You know, because I can promise you, earthly fathers, we make tremendous errors all the time. See, our Father is so awesome. He is not only, he's the source of, number one, all comfort, the source of all mercy, the source of all peace, the source of all joy. He is the source of all hope, and he is also the source of all grace. Our Father can never, ever, ever fail us. Amen? Let me tell you something about our Father. It says in Philippians 1:6, it says this, he, meaning God, this is a promise, he who began a good work in you. Do you know what God is doing in your life? He says, it's a good work. God says, he who began a good work in you We'll complete it, we'll finish it until the very day of Christ Jesus. Listen, our Father is going to instruct us and care for us and take care of us all the way until we finally see Jesus face to face. Amen? There's not a Father like that in all of the universe, and we need to trust Him. He loved us so much. He loves everyone so much that John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave. He loved the world, the object of His love. You've heard me say this many times. God so loved the world. What did the object of His love was not the trees and the mountains and the beautiful rivers and streams and lakes and valleys and all of that. No, God so loved the world, meaning mankind, the people of the world. He loved mankind so much that He gave His only Son. He let His Son die on the cross for the sins of the world. He died for us. He took our place. Boy, what kind of Father is that? That is a Father that is unlike anything we've ever known. Because you know what? Here's the deal. God died for us when we were still sinners. Amen? Oh, would you let your son or your daughter go be butchered and hang up on a cross? Would you say, here, take my son, put the sin of the world upon him? You would not do that. I would not do that. But God so loved the world. That's what He did. He did that. Listen, we need to trust Him. Look at verse 31. Therefore, Jesus says, He says, do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? And what are we going to wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, meaning the lost, the unbelievers of the world. For here it is, your heavenly Father, what? Knows. Your heavenly Father knows. He knows everything. He knows what you need right this minute. And listen to me before I finish that scripture. He's concerned right now about what you need. See, God, don't you hear me? Of course I hear you. I'm your Father. Yeah, but I mean, I'm right here, but no, I don't see you. I don't, you know, I need this. And you start being a little sissy. Oh. He says, Jesus said, your heavenly Father, Father's Day 2014. He, on this moment, right this second, many of you, and those who are listening live right now, many of you, you are facing difficulties. You don't know what to do, but God knows. Your Father knows. And you know, the fact of the matter is, He loves you. He cares for you so much. He says, Jesus, oh, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Listen, here's what I've learned about my Father in heaven. He doesn't want me to live like the lost in the world. He doesn't want me hanging my head and worrying about what am I going to do? What am I going to eat? What am I going to put on? What's going to happen? How am I going to have a retirement? Am I going to have this? Am I going to make it through another day? And on and on and on. Listen, your heavenly Father, let me back up. I know what it's like to have earthly fathers or an earthly father fail me. I love my dad, but I don't know if he really ever loved me, but that's okay. I'm old now, and the Lord has healed that in my life. But you know what? My heavenly Father has never failed me. He's never, ever failed you, ever. And you know what's so wonderful? Jesus tells us what we can do, where to find our need. If we have something going on in our life, He tells us what to do. Look at the next verse. He says, but seek ye first. Matter of priority. The very first thing Jesus said to do, seek ye first what? The kingdom of your Father, the kingdom of God, His reign, His rule, His will, His righteousness. And look at this, and how many things will be added to you? All these things. Now, is that true or is that a lie? He can't lie. Now listen, He just told you something. All these things will be added to you. Now listen carefully now. This is when the supernatural begins in your life. This is when you all of a sudden say, okay, Lord, you know my needs, but here's what I'm going to do. You promised me if I would seek ye first, if I would seek you, the kingdom, and you're right. He said, you're going to add these things to me. So this is when the miracle or the miraculous above, this is when provisions from God start appearing in your life. And you know what? Our Father, well, here's what I've learned is that God, our Father, sometimes most of the time, He doesn't supply what we need the way we think, does He? Do you understand? I mean, it's always exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think. And I've learned that in my life. I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm not going to put you in a little box now and say, okay, here, I'm going to look how you're going to provide my need. You know, I've told you this story, I know, several times over the last 22 years here, but listen to me. I'll never forget, I mean, this is, if there's one thing that has stayed with me, there's been many, many things, but one thing that'll never leave me was the day in my first pastorate. And Becky and I, we did not have a dime to our names. And, the Lord had told us that my pastorate was over there and for us to leave. And, loved one, I mean, we were 3 months behind on our house payment, and I couldn't afford to hire a realtor to sell our home because we wouldn't have made a penny. We'd have been in debt again. You see what I'm saying? So I put a little sign out in the yard, you know, for sale by owner with a number and so forth. And a couple of weeks earlier, you know how you get all, back then in the early 80s, you know, you'd get all this mail from different ministries and evangelists and so forth. Well, one of this envelope that came in the mail, you know, about wanting me to give them money. I didn't have any money. And, but inside of it, was a big hand, just a hand, just like that. You follow me? In color. And it said on there, just lay your hand on my hand and I'll be in agreement with you, whatever you're praying for. And so forth. We'll be in agreement and ask God to do that. Well, you know, I just wanted to throw that thing in the trash. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with you. And so here I am. I'm going, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm at the end of my rope, so to speak. And I remember getting up early that morning. It's about 5 o'clock and I walk into the kitchen. Becky is asleep in her bed. Thomas, he's a little baby. He's asleep in his room. And I go in there and I don't know what to do. And I started crying. I said, dear God, I said, you called me. I left, you know, I just started whining like a baby, you know, I left everything, you know, that whole story. Oh, I see, you know, I've just made myself sick, you know, and so forth. Just playing that violin and I'm saying, Lord, they're going to take the house away. I don't have a dime and I place anywhere to go. And as God is my witness, you know, the Lord said, place your hand in that hand. And I'm going off the cheese is slipping off the cracker. It's over with, you know, and I wouldn't do it. And then the Lord spoke to me again and said, put your hand on that hand and pray. And I looked, I mean, listen, there's a hand, it's in color, it was, you know how you put it on a copy machine and you make a copy of it? It was a real hand, it wasn't, you know, and so I lay my hand on it and I said, oh God, I said, please help me sell my home before I lose it. And I quit praying and then the Lord spoke to me, as God is my witness, he said, your home will sell before the day's over. Listen, I ran into the bedroom and my wife was in a dead sleep. I grabbed her and started, I said, the Lord just spoke to me. You know, I mean, I haven't even brushed my teeth. It's in the morning. You know what I mean? I've got coffee breath, man. You know, I mean, Godzilla breath. You know what I'm trying to say? And I'm grabbing, she's looking, her eyes are real, you know, and I'm saying, God just spoke to me. And I said, the house is going to sell today. And she looked at me and she said, honey, you're having a nervous breakdown. I said, no. I said, the house is going to sell today. I'm talking about how getting out of the box and expecting your provision and believing and trusting God. And you know what happened? This is the truth. All day long, I had I lived on a dead-end street. And I was at a dead end in my life, you know, and I had that little sissy sign in the yard right there. And I looked all day. Every time there was a car that would come, they'd have to turn around because we lived on a dead end street. All day long, I stood at the kitchen window looking outside and cars coming and going. 6:30 or 5:30 that afternoon, whenever it was. This car slowly driving by looking at the house. I told Becky, I said, I think, you know, turns around, you know, because it's a dead end, and then stops right in front of our house. And a woman gets out. She had Colorado license plates. And a woman gets out, comes to and knocks on the door, and she said, I see that this house is for sale. I said, yes. She said, I grew up in this home as a little girl. I said, uh-huh. And she said, we're retiring, and I always wanted to come back and live here. And I said, well, there's a sign in my yard. She bought the house that day. Listen, now you say, Bill, that's just, no, listen, I'm telling you that God, your Father, is a God of miracles. And listen to me now, it doesn't always work out that way, but God is always working it out. And that's what we have to see. That was a great victory story. Yes, that happened, but what had he not come through? Then God says, no, I have another way. His way is always perfect. And that's why we have to trust him with all of our heart. Listen, I know that, you know, the truth is that maybe, I don't know, maybe some of you are like me right now. And I say like me, meaning that I'm in a season of my life. I'm in a season right now of major, major decisions. And I think, oh God, you know how difficult major decisions, not just one major, that'd be, well, if it's just one, okay, but plural. And you know, they're difficult. And you go, oh God, they push you. Those decisions push you. They push you to trust God like never, ever before. You know what God says when you're like that loved one? He says, listen, trust me when you don't have the answers. Just trust me. Like David, when David cried out in Psalm 34, 31, 14, he said this, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. He said, I trust my Father in heaven. You are my God, and my times, that's plural, my whole my life are in your hand. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 62, 8, it says, trust in him. Trust in your heavenly Father at all times. That means all times, every situation, whatever you're going through, every decision that you need to make. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. That's what pour out your heart before means. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And you say, oh Lord, here's my heart. I'm pouring it out before you. And then it goes on and David said, or Psalm 62 says, and it says, and God is your refuge. God is our fortress. He's our rock. We can count on God coming through for us. We don't know how he's going to do it because we don't put God in the box. And he always does things. I mean, how weird is that to put your hand in a picture of a hand? Do you understand? I wish I still had that hand. I should have framed that thing, man, and kept it with me. I'd put it in my office right now. Lord, let's do this again. God does, he builds our faith. I mean, do you know how weird that was for me? I mean, I'm going, I have some intelligence. You know, I did go to college. Hello. You know, hello. But no, God says, oh, Bill, my ways aren't your ways. I'm so far above this. I know what you need. You need your faith increased in me. Don't you know that I'll always take care of you? Don't you know that I'll always be there for you? Oh, man, I look at that, I say, oh, God. See, listen, the greatest thing that we can do in our life is trust the right person. You say, that's it. So, what you mean, well, I trust, you know, I'm going to this counselor. Counselors are good, but they're men or women. They're not God. Oh, I'm going to read this book. Well, good. It's good to have knowledge and all this kind of stuff. But I'm saying, listen, you got to have to go to the right person. Because if you get the wrong information, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And God says, I want you to come to the right person, and that's me. See, in reality, the truth of the matter is, for the Christian, for us, there's only two kinds of trust, okay? Let me give them to you. Jeremiah 17:5, let me read it. Thus saith the Lord, that's our Father in heaven. Here it is. Cursed is the man who trust in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. You know, when our heart departs from the Lord, that's when the cursing comes in. Now listen to what it says, what he's going to be like. If you're not going to trust in the Lord, listen carefully. He says, he, that means he or she, okay? Women are included. For he shall be like a shrub. Don't you hate that word? I mean, don't call me shrub. I don't even like that word, you know? And he said, he'll be like a shrub where? In the desert. Oh, and this is what's so sad. And shall not see when good comes. Listen, when we're not trusting the Lord, that's why we have to fight the good fight of faith. That's why we have to stand. We have to renew our hearts, renew our minds to the Word of God constantly. We have to be people of prayer. We have people be people that's in the Word, being people that are committed to being in church to hear the Word of God. See what happens when we stop trusting the Lord and we start trusting self, we start trusting whatever. here comes the good. And it goes right by you. It goes right by me. And you say, oh, why did it happen? Because I'm not trusting God. Do you believe that God is always sending something good to you? I know he is. The Bible tells us in Psalm 23, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. That means that goodness and mercy are always in hot pursuit, like a predator, if you will, coming after us. God says, if you trust me, I'm your father. If you will trust me, when the good comes, you'll see it and you'll not miss it. Oh, how horrible it is for us not to trust the one who loves us. Amen? Oh, and he goes on to say, listen carefully. He says, you'll not see good when it comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. In other words, not inhabited, I mean not able to support any life. We will not be walking in the fullness of life. That's what Jesus said. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not only just in heaven, but here, loved one. So we'll miss out on that because we're not trusting the Lord. So we don't want anything to do with the cursed is the man or woman doesn't trust the Lord. Listen to those who trust the Lord now. It says in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed, oh, how happy to be envied. That's what that word means. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, our Heavenly Father, and whose hope is in him. Here it is. For he shall be like a tree planted. A tree planted means that God, it speaks of ownership. You know, if you're going to plant a tree, a tree's been planted. I want you right here. It means God is going to put you in the exact right place that you need to be in your life. He's going to plant you. It says he's going to plant you by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. In other words, the fear, the things that come into our life, the horrible things that are happening around the world. God says, no, when you're planted by me, when you're trusting in me, things are going to happen, but you're not going to have to fear. He says also, and its leaf will be green and will not be anxious. You'll not be anxious, torn apart. You'll not worry in the year of drought or when things are going wrong, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You won't ever cease when you trust in the Lord. Amen. And when they're yielding fruit brings glory to our Father, which is in heaven. 2014 is the year of fruitfulness. I can tell you, I can't wait until Thanksgiving. You remember our annual night of thanks, because the testimonies that I have that have been emailed or spoken directly to me of the year of fruitfulness, the things that God has done for so many in this church is absolutely unbelievable. You know, I just had a woman today. I'm not going to tell you what happened, but it was, I couldn't believe, talked to me 20 minutes about what the Lord had done and so forth. It was just incredible. You know, I got an email last week and, you know, someone said, you know, Bill, I was $150,000 behind in, owed the, internal revenue. Is that a horrible thing to owe them? You know what I mean? The Gestapo. And back taxes. Now listen to me. And the internal revenue settled with them for $525. That is a year of fruitfulness. There are things that are happening, things in my life, things in your life. God is moving. You see, and I say, oh Lord, you know why? Because we are planted. We're trusting the Lord and the fruit is coming. And you know what? The Lord knows those who trust him. Nahum 1:7 says that the Lord knows those who trust him. D.L. Moody said this. He says, trust in yourself, you're going to be doomed to disappointment. Trust in your friends and they're going to die and leave you. Trust in your reputation and some slanderous tongue may blast it. But trust in God, your Father. And you are never to be confounded in time or eternity. Boy, that's a true word. Loved one, listen. We need to trust the right person, and that is our Father. Turn now to Proverbs in the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3. Right after Psalms is Proverbs, and I know you know Proverbs 3 probably by heart, but let's just look at it for a few moments. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, meaning the word of God. What are we to do with God's word? It says, but let your heart keep my commands. The word keep means to guard the word of God. Guard it. Put it into your heart. What a word from our Father. Guard my commands. And he tells us, and you know why? Because someone is trying to steal God's word. Someone is trying to steal. The devil doesn't want you to build your life on the rock. The devil doesn't want you to trust God. He wants you to doubt God. Matter of fact, isn't that the first thing that he did in the garden? Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 and following with Eve. Oh, did God say? Surely, come on. You'll not die? What's wrong with you, Eve? You're not going to die. The first thing he did was cause Eve to doubt God's word, not trust God, not trust God's word. Solomon here in writing, he says, listen, put this word in your heart and guard it and keep it there. And listen, if we obey this command, look at the promise now that comes with it. For length of days, long life doesn't mean years here. It means a life that's worth living on this earth. For length of days, long life, oh, peace, they will what to you? Add to you. Let not mercy, that's that loving kindness, let not truth forsake you. Look what he says to do with them. Bind them around your neck. Take God's truth like a beautiful ornament, if you will, and put it around your neck. And then he says, watch this, and write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You know, life can be difficult. And I promise you, if you have not been through a fiery furnace, you will go through one or more in your life. And what we need to do is do what God tells us our Father says. He says, listen, I want to add things to you, not subtract. I want to add things. But when it says add to your life, it means to put life in your days, to live. You know, to really live means, you know what? I'm not fearing this anymore. I'm not going to be anxious about this anymore because I know my Father's in charge of me. He loves me. He's written my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know that heaven is my home, and I know that I'm going to make it because God is going to get me home. Amen? He's going to take care of us all of our life. But we need to trust the right person. Look what happens when we do. It says in verse 5, now there's that word again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That means in good times, it means in bad times, in lean times, in rich times. But you know when it's the hardest to trust God? You know when it's the hardest to trust our Father in heaven? It's when you're discouraged. See, discouraged means lack of courage. When you're disappointed. When you just, it's like everything is so overwhelming. And you feel everything in your mind. Everything in your mind tells you to quit. Everything in your mind says give up. Everything in your mind says sell everything you have and load up and don't have a forwarding address. See, everything in your mind says that. That's why God says, our Father, trust in the Lord with all of your mind. No. With all of your heart. He knows you're falling apart. He knows that you believe here that you're falling apart. That's why he says, and lean not onto your own understanding in the next verse. There you see it? Lean not. In other words, don't lean on yourself. Don't lean on what you see. Don't lean on your own wisdom. Don't lean on your emotions. Don't do that. He says, God says, lean on your Father. There are times when we don't need to say anything to our Father. We just want to run to Him. You know, when you're a little child, you remember ever just running and getting into your dad's arm? You're not saying a word. You just want to sit there. And you just sit there and you lay your back against Him, you know, slap Him in the face maybe. You know what I'm saying? But you're secure and you're safe. You had to crawl up there. When my heart is overwhelmed, said the psalmist, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to lean on my understanding because I know what I'm seeing. I don't understand it, but I know it's not right. And God said, you just lean on me, Bill. You just lean on me. Lean not on your understanding. And then what does it say? Acknowledge me in all of your ways and everything that you do. Acknowledge me and look at this incredible promise. And he shall what? Direct your paths. You know, this morning, early this morning, about 5 o'clock, I was doing a word study on the word direct. That's a Hebrew word, direct. If you have a center column reference in your Bible, you'll see that there, it probably says to make smooth or straight or whatever is there. That word direct is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. God says, listen, if you will trust in me, your father said, if you'll trust in me, I know you're hurting. I know that you're disappointed. I know that you don't see a way out. I know that you don't have a clue or a plan on what to do. And that today's a tough day. And you don't want tomorrow to be any tougher than it is today. You want to see some light. He says, you trust in me with all of your heart. Lean on your understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways. He said, now listen, here's what I'm going to do. If you'll just do that, I'm trying to help you get out of this because I'm your father. I'm giving you the most perfect advice in all the world because I'm your father and I love you. He says this. He says, he, our father, will direct your path. That word means to make level, to make smooth, to make prosperous. But here's the key. But when we trust him with all of our heart, don't let yourself be the one who gives the definition to what that word direct means. In other words, okay, Bill, it means smooth. Okay, well, you know what? Maybe God's smooth path doesn't feel smooth to you. But the truth of the matter is you're on the perfect path. Or maybe God's path doesn't feel level and prosperous. But here's the thing. It is level, and that path is going to lead you to what you need to prosper you in whatever you're going through in your life. Do you believe it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, it's so good when I can see your faces like that. Oh, what a sad group. No. Do you understand what I mean? See, that is, that we must trust the right person. And remember now that this is conditional. Verse 5 is conditional on verse 1 and 2. We have to take God's word and we have to hide it into our hearts. We have to believe the word and get it into our hearts. Listen, I have come to the point now in my life. Well, you know, where I'm no longer trying to figure everything out. And I do try to figure things out. It's like I was telling the first service, you know, I analyze everything. I drive myself crazy. You know, like 820, I've watched all the construction. I go, why are they doing that? Why did they do that? I tell Becky, then I tell her what I think. And she says, Bill, please, I don't want to know what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing. You're wrong anyway. You know, but I do. I just analyze and I analyze. And you know, I come to a point in my life where I no longer figure out how are you going to bring it to pass in my life? And I don't try to figure it out anymore. You know, over 30 years ago, or maybe it was just about 30 years ago, I was in a meeting. There's about 1,000 people in the meeting. And the guest speaker called me out of the, just like, you know, I said, hey, come up here for a minute. Not really, but I'm just what he did. Come up here. And I said, No. And I stood up and he said, oh, come here. And so he said, I have a word from God for you. I said, really? And so he gives me a prophecy, if you will. Tells me what God's going to do in my ministry and my life and so forth. List all these things out. And one of the things that he said, your sermons are going to be heard around the entire world. I looked at him and I just want to say, you're a false prophet, buddy. You know, I know better than that. I didn't say a word. I just listed him and he listed other things and so forth. And you know, of course, after I got that word, you know how if you get a word from God, you know, it gives you comfort, edifies you, builds you up, excites you. And so Becky and I go home and I go, well, you think this guy's a false prophet? You think that was real? You know, you had to go through the whole thing and I start analyzing. I said, how in the world is that ever going to happen? That can't happen. There's no way that can happen. And I said, it's crazy. That's just, the guy's crazy. I just started laughing about it and so forth and never even gave it another thought in my life. And what I tell you right now, I tell you with the deepest humility and with the deepest awe ever in my life. You know, yesterday as I was preparing, you know, for today, I was in my study and Becky comes in and my study, by the way, everybody has a picture of the study. You just saw books, you know, and all my library and probably a holy chandelier hanging down. No, my study is a little glass table in my corner of my bedroom, and I'm in my shorts, and I'm in my baseball TCU baseball cap, and I'm wearing the most ripped up t-shirt you could ever imagine. And my wife comes in and she said, you remember that word that guy gave you all those years back? And I said, what word is that? It said about you, your sermons being heard all over the world. And I said, yeah. Can you? I said, what made you think of that? And she said, because it's come to pass. I said, what? How do you figure that? And she said, well, look at the KDKR map. The broadcaster all over the world now. And not only that, God, you know, look at what Craig has done back there. He you know, he sends me all these reports. You know, last week it was Ireland and, you know, all over Canada, all over America and Europe and down all of them. We're all everywhere. And I went, Lord, we're not even 1,000 member church yet. And I went, look what you're doing here. And I went, oh God, you know what I've learned? Is that number one, God knows the future. Number two, he knows the key players to put into your future to accomplish his will. And you know what's amazing, loved one? Now listen to me. Isn't it amazing that has come to pass? And I would have never thought. I mean, the internet wasn't even heard of then. And now, you know, we get these reports and like Craig sent me two of them this week. I am in awe. When I look and I say, Lord, we've only been up on this just for a little while. And I'm going, how is this even possible? And I'll tell you how. God. You see, I thought I was going to, you know, when the guy gave me that word. Now listen, I thought, hey man, I'm going to get a jet. No, come on. Come on. Wouldn't you? Oh, don't tell me you wouldn't think that. Yeah, I was going to have a nice suit and tie. You know, I was going to fly all over the world. I was going to be an evangelist or something. No, look at me. Can you believe that? I mean, listen, if God can do that for someone as messed up as me, just think what he can do for you. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. That's the honest God truth. You know, listen, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says, God, our Father's made everything beautiful in its time. And he, our Father, has put eternity in their hearts, except that No one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Oh, listen, you know, our life is a life of adventure. Our Father is sending us all off an adventure and we're kicking cans down the road and we're sad. We don't have to try to figure it out. We don't even have to understand it. And here's what something else. We don't even have to make it happen. All we have to do is say, Lord, I trust in you. I obey your word and you do whatever you want to do. Amen. That's all that we have to do. And God says, oh, I'll do great things. Listen, time and eternity. We live in a world that's the clock is ticking by. And you know, just like you, just like me, we found out that the older that we get as Christians, that this land, this world that we live in is insufficient to meet our needs. But you know why? Because this is not our home. You see, heaven is our home. That's why Ecclesiastes 3:11 said, and he, God, our Father, he's done something for us. He has put eternity in our hearts. This world will never satisfy. Oh, how we need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. And listen, you know why many in the church don't? And I say this with love, not beating anybody up. Look quickly at that next verse. In verse 7, it tells us why. It says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh, that we don't want to be. In other words, we may be intelligent and we may have a lot of knowledge, but what we need is wisdom. It says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Man, we need God's wisdom. He says, listen, fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It'll be health or healing to your flesh. It'll be strength or literally refreshment to your bones. Listen, we don't know God knows better than any of us. You know, when I talk with people and I use this illustration all the time, are you going to have marriage God's way or your way? Well, I'm going to do it my way. Well, why? Are you smarter than God? Do you have more wisdom than God? If God said, get into the Bible, pick it apart, find out how to be a good husband or find out how to be a good wife, why aren't you doing it? See, I'll tell you why. You think you're smarter than God. You think you have more wisdom than God. No, we don't want to be that hearer and that doer. We want to trust the Lord with all of our heart. Listen, we live in a world right now that is overflowing with knowledge, but not wisdom. Look at verse 13. Drop down to verse 13 quickly. Happy is the man who finds what? $1 million. You know, have you seen how on the news how people, somebody's hiding money and everybody's going looking for it? Have you or have you not?
Yes.
Okay. Well, did you see me over there? Well, they haven't come to Fort Worth yet, have they? Anyway, what I'm saying is this. Man, I found $20. Okay, well, it's going to be gone. But it says, happy is the man that doesn't find what? Who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Why? For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. Her gain is like fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. Now watch this. And all the things that you may desire. All, just think about whatever. Let your mind go wild. All the things that you may desire. Watch this. Cannot compare with her. Her meaning the wisdom of God. Listen. Our Father knows everything. Do you understand? I don't know. That excites me to say it. Our Father knows everything about everything. He doesn't learn because he knows everything. Do you understand? He knows everything, and we can go to him. We don't want to go to the world for help when we have unless we go to God first. Amen? And say, Lord, if you want me to go to the world for help, then tell me where to go, because you know everything. Oh, the Lord is so good. We have to go to the right person. You know, the Bible tells us if we trust in self, we're going to get in trouble. Proverbs 28:26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, the Lord says. So when we trust the right person, then something happens. We can allow ourselves then to trust in the blessings that we can receive. Look at the next verse very quickly as we head toward the finish line here this morning. It says, honor the Lord. That's our Father. How do we honor our Father? It says, with your possessions, in other words, your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your increase, meaning your income, and he tells us why. So your barns will be what? Filled with plenty. That's a good word. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Now listen, we honor God by giving to God what he's already given to us. Amen? That's what it's all about. And that proves the evidence that we're trusting the Lord. Lord, hey, you gave me this. Thank you. Here's 10% or whatever. And go from there. Listen, this Father's Day, how can we not trust our Heavenly Father who chose us? You know, my dad didn't even want me. Can you imagine a father not wanting your son? But my Father wanted me in heaven. You know, the reason I always teach about our Father in heaven on Father's Day and not about dads is because I never really had a dad. I had dad, but I didn't really know him that well. But when God healed me that day of not having a father in my heart, and I knew that God, my Father, I mean, I know he's my Father. He's Abba, Father. Abba, that intimacy, that Papa, Daddy. Do you understand? I mean, I know that I'm not fatherless. I mean, I've celebrated that for 30 years. I've celebrated that God touched my heart and healed me over not having an earthly father. And then I'm okay now. And I say, oh God, you're so good. See, he chose you, and he chose you, as you already know, from the foundations of the earth, Ephesians 1:4. More than that, though, when you come to the Lord and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he gives you the spotless, sinless record of his son. Oh, and then how much he loves us. Ephesians 1:6, you know, the same love that he loves the Lord, his own son, he loves us the same way. How about this scripture, 1 John 3:1, behold. In other words, stop right there. It says, behold. Get your attention. Behold. What manner of love. That word, what manner, in the Greek is one word, meaning, what manner of love means something that's foreign to this world. Oh, the manner of love. What manner of love? A love that comes only from heaven. Behold, what manner of love the Father, our Heavenly Father, has bestowed, lavished, poured out on us, that we should be called the children of God. Listen, you've heard me say it so often. God's love is unconditional. Isn't that amazing? you know, my heavenly father, I mean, earthly father's love, maybe yours, it's conditional love. I hope it's not, but maybe it was. You do right, da 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 da, you know, you'd be perfect, make straight A's or whatever, you know, win the football game, I don't know, whatever. I'm going to love you. You don't act right, I don't know if I even want you. You know, my way or the highway stuff. No, God says, Bill, I've loved you since eternity. And how long is eternity? It's eternity. He loves you the same way. See, God's love doesn't go up. It doesn't go down. He loves you. You cannot change the love of God. You cannot do something to make God love you any more or any less than he already does. He loves you. Now listen carefully. God's love, our Father's love, is unconditional. But unconditional love, it doesn't mean that it's unconditional approval. Look at the next verse very quickly. My son, do not despise the chastening or the training, the correction of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord, what? Loves. He chastens, he trains, he disciplines. How? He does it just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Listen, God knows, you know what? If he loves you, he's going to train you. He's going to correct you. He's going to spank you. Amen? And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing because, listen, discipline always hurts, but it never harms. And the reason is because our Father always disciplines us in perfect divine love. He's never wrong. He never makes a mistake. You know, as earthly dads, sometimes, you know, and moms too, we may have spanked our children out of anger. You know what I mean? Don't look religious. God doesn't do that. He chastens us out of his love. And to be corrected or chastened or trained by God, it means this. It means that our Father is involved in our life. It means also when God does, it means that he cares. God cares about us. But it also means something else when God corrects us and trains us and gets us back on the proper road and so forth. It gives us incredible assurance. Let me tell you why. Listen carefully. Hebrews 12:8. But if you are without chastening, if you're here this morning or if you're listening live and you say, I'm a Christian, and you are without correction by God, without training. In other words, you're doing something and it's wrong and, you know, I'm just keep doing it. It's no big deal. I'm satisfied with it. And God says, oh, no, you're wrong. And if you're not feeling anything, man, if you don't know that he's not disciplining you, here's the deal. It says, then you are illegitimate and not sons, not daughters. See, if you can say God is not disciplining me right now, that means that you don't have God as your father. It means you are fatherless. It also means something else. That it means that you'll never get rid of your guilt. Isn't it wonderful to know that you can get rid of your guilt? That's what's wrong with so many of the young people today in this world. They're overcome by guilt. You can never get rid of your guilt if he's not your father. You can never get rid of your sin. You can never get rid of your shame. You can never feel clean. And here's something else. You'll never know what it feels like to really be loved. Only your Father in heaven can love you that way. And you know what else? You'll never be happy. It says in Job 5:17, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty. God only trains, corrects, and disciplines sons and daughters that belong to him. Do you belong to him? You that are listening live right now, do you belong to him? Are you fatherless on Father's Day? Then let me tell you how to come to him. Jesus said, I am the what? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one, no person can come to the Father except by me, except through me. Father, this morning, on this wonderful day that you've given us, this Father's Day 2014, how thankful we are that you are our Heavenly Father. And we praise you and thank you for sending Jesus to die for us, O God, and to save us and to keep us saved. But Lord, if there's any in the midst this morning, if they've never asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart, if they, those that are listening live, if they've never said, Jesus, be my Lord, take me to the Father. I want God to be my Father. I want to be saved. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. If you've not prayed that, if you've not asked him, then do so right this minute. Cry out to him right now and say, Jesus, save me. I want to be saved. I want you to come into my heart. Just tell him right now, and he will save you right where you were sitting. Now, Lord, only you can do that work. And I pray that you're breaking hearts of those who don't know you right now, and they're calling upon you. Now, we love you. We praise you. We honor you this day. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You know, if you prayed that prayer, just that simple prayer, Lord, be my Lord, come into my heart, and you meant that, we're going to close with a song, and then right after the service, there'll be people down front here, and they're going to have a booklet entitled, Welcome to the Family of God. They want to give it to you. They want you to understand what you just did. It's so important. Or if you need prayer, there'll be people here to pray with you as well. Or maybe you are listening live right now, there in your living room, your car, whatever it might be. And you say, Bill, I did pray that prayer. I was fatherless, but now Jesus is my Lord. Then if you will email me at info@loveneverfails.com, that book, Welcome to the Family of God, will be mailed out to you immediately in the morning. There's no one like our Father. Amen. Oh, it's such a good day. It's a wonderful day. I hope that every dad has a great day today. And I hope you know that you have a great dad, our Father in heaven. Amen. Let's sing to the Lord, shall we?